Greetings, podcast listeners. Welcome back. This is your host, Indra, with Aikido Talks. So today we continue with the book, Budo by Morihei Ueshiba, Teachings of the Founder of Aikido. And today we're going to talk about, or we're going to read the excerpt that describes hand techniques, which is in the section, The Essence of Technique, where there's a breakdown of different components, training methods, showman training, the principle of adjusting mind and body. And today we're going to speak about hand techniques. There's a lot of interesting things, as is in the rest of the book, that I think you'll find of great interest. But before we do, the platform for this podcast is going to shift. And as you all know, that this was previously Anchor, and it is now Spotify. So us as influencers are soon to be right in Spotify. So you'll be able to go, I guess, into Spotify and to find us. I think you can already do that. But for those of you who are interested, you can always create your own podcast as well. And then you would go straight into the Spotify world. And there's some great benefits to it as well, because I think there's the opportunity to create multiple shows under one account instead of creating separate accounts. That's one of the things that are making it quite easier for influencers such as I to bring this great information, knowledge to you, to share with you, and to enjoy. So without further ado, I'm going to read and then give a commentary. Let's begin. Hand techniques. The hands, feet, and hips must be centered and function as one. In order to protect your mind and body, it is essential to first guide and lead others with your hands. Let's read that again. Let me just stop for a quick second. Isn't that interesting? It's very interesting that when you're reading, and books are indeed your friends. I know, and I believe it, because you may not see the same thing twice. You'll see something different every time you pick it up and read it again. The same as Aikido. No class is the same. There's always a different nuance, a different partner, a different feel. We're a day older, or a year older, whatever, etc., etc. And you get the feel of it because we're always changing. Anyway, let's continue. I'm going to read that over again. In order to protect your mind and body, it is essential to first guide and lead others with your hands. You must understand thoroughly how to guide your opponent in one direction and down him in that same direction. When your opponent wants to pull, you must learn to anticipate and direct such a pull. When you achieve success in bujutsu training, you sense immediately what the opponent lacks and fulfill it. That is, you must perceive the openings in your opponent's position, that which is lacking, and apply a technique there. Perceiving an opponent's weakness in such a manner is budo. And I taper off for just a second from this reading. This reminds me of when people say you're finding your opponent's opening. Let's continue. True budo, however, is not for the sole purpose of destroying an opponent. It is far better to defeat an opponent spiritually by making him realize the folly of his actions. Let's repeat that again. True budo, however, is not for the sole purpose of destroying an opponent. It is far better to defeat an opponent spiritually by making him realize the folly of his actions, him or her, or they. And then he, she, they will gladly abandon his attack or hers or their attack. True budo is for the purpose of establishing harmony. Mind and body are the actualized forms of water and fire. Unified in spirit, we must ceaselessly train in the techniques of harmonization. If the opponent grabs your wrist, step back with the left leg. Guide him in that direction. Hold his arm while striking his face and down him. I'll stop briefly again. I mean, in the book, it does say him a lot. So for the purposes of understanding that this can mean him, she, they. It can mean anyone. So that's the purpose of what this means. Let's continue. Thank you for listening to this. All the Bujutsu of Japan manifest the teachings of heaven and earth. For example, when one is surrounded by enemies attacking simultaneously with spears, one must look upon them as a single opponent and cut through the crowd with a steady mind. The ancients used pillars and trees as shields, but that is a mistake, nor should we rely on others for protection. Our spirit is the true shield. Let's repeat that. Our spirit is the true shield. When facing numerous opponents, draw out their attacks. Enter directly and turn behind their thrusting spears. By applying this principle, one can shatter the circle and escape to safe ground. When surrounded, apply the same principle. Enter and turn, taking care not to break your own posture and stymie your opponents. Learn the proper dimensions of the truth. Do not train in the ways of deceit, and do not violate the sacred trust that you have received from the gods. Each person is a miniature universe. And I think I read this before, but it bears repeating. The practice of Bujutsu is to defeat an opponent in his fashion. One must train so that such principles permeate one's body. When surrounded by a host of enemies, think of them as one. And we will go all the way to the end here. In extreme situations, the entire world becomes our foe. At such critical times, this kind of unity of mind and technique is essential. Do not let your heart waver. The human body is a creation of the divine spirit, just as a single beam of light can disperse the darkness. We should train and train intently to acquire such a quality. In a secret training manual written by an ancient worthy, there is the following statement. Bujutsu must be applied just like a sunbeam flooding a room with light as soon as the door opens a crack. More than that, the light of our practice must be able to penetrate screens, walls, rocks, or any other material. I'm going to repeat this too. More than that, the light of our practice, must be able to penetrate screens, walls, rocks, or any other material. In our path, our souls, our bodies, and everything else belong to the divine. A warrior's purpose is to master, according to the august presence, martial techniques that vivify both the manifest and hidden worlds. Repeatedly train in the manifest world, train in the realm of the hidden, until you can freely dwell continuously in both spheres. That is the spirit we need in order to bring the hidden virtues of sincerity and fidelity out into the open and make them increasingly known throughout the world. The path is exceedingly vast, reflecting the grand design of the hidden and manifest realms. A warrior is a living shrine of the divine. You must serve that grand purpose. Let's read this again. A warrior is a living shrine of the divine who must serve that grand purpose. Always imagine yourself on the battlefield under the fiercest attack. Never forget this crucial element of training. Never lose your identity. Purify yourself to create a pristine, blameless world. And with that, we'll be right back. And we are back. So there are a few things that were in this excerpt, which were quite interesting. And for example, you know, you think about, you know, seeing everyone as one, that reminds me of Randori with multiple attacks. And the whole thing about that, it is not about defeating an opponent. Think about how you can use this off the mat. The principles of Aikido, the art of peace, off the mat. And that you are, the other thing that I mentioned earlier in the excerpt about the reminding that, oh yeah, this sounds a lot like seeing the opponent's opening and then putting the technique there. This is why it's so important to repeat. And in the way this podcast episode is like practicing Aikido, in that we're repeating the same episode, but I saw something different in it that I wanted to read it again. And I read a different part of the paragraph, I believe, but please feel free to comment however you can and use a reflection on this episode. I welcome it. So for people who don't practice Aikido, if you're listening to this and reading it, and I really encourage everyone to buy this book. It's a small book, but it has a lot of pictures in the second half of it, of the techniques. But the first half has the written thoughts of O-sensei, Morihei Ueshiba. And taking it off the mat, the whole thing of letting the opponent do their thing, not being impressed upon it, that you're not using it to down someone, and especially if you're looking at it in terms of this election year that we have here in the U.S., or you think about any elections that people take place, or people tend to get, you know, we're talking about Aikido, which is working towards the point of justice, and also the nugget in this excerpt about not training in deceit, which I'll address in a second. But the whole thing of taking this off the mat and living it, living the principle of Aikido, where if people are trying to attack you all the time, what if we were to turn it into play and to look at it as a system instead of, and that actually, it kind of turns into that when you drop all those emotions with constant training and you're always meeting it and repetition, it's really helpful. And then you can sort of defeat them without having to fight or to conquer, because they talk about spiritually in this, where you get to change someone's mind about something just by your integrity of how you do it, whether it's hand-to-hand or psychologically or spiritually, where you don't even have to touch them. Think about O-sensei in his later years, the talks about the admonitions of him not really touching people. And it's like, how does he do this? So it's up for further study, deeper study. And, you know, if we always find ourselves hitting a brick wall in conflict, then we have to continue to self-examine, because there is a way out. And Aikido offers that way, the path, as they say it. So this is such a great, there's so many little things in this short excerpt about the hands, and especially in the opening about leading with your hands if you're feeling, to keep yourself from feeling confused. And I wonder if that also helps when you're doing anything with your hands to settle yourself, whether you're doing like knitting or crochet, for example, or if you're, you know, working with weapons, something concrete, working in the manifest world and the spiritual world at the same time, because that's what we know as human beings, that you could probably ascend further, closer to the spiritual world, which I think O-sensei kind of did in his epiphanies throughout his life, especially his later years. So my dear friends, I wanted to leave you with this excerpt, and perhaps you find some special nuggets yourself in this excerpt, and get the book, because it's a great reference of how peace can happen. But to further understand it, one must practice Aikido to be able to do the techniques and to understand it physically in actuality, mind and spirit. And to judge yourself, it's not about competing with anybody else. And some people automatically put it in because sometimes it's hard for people to separate that component. But then you will stay, sure, you can practice forever, but you will stay on that plane and won't ascend to another level of understanding if one is pushing so hard to stay in one spot of understanding, if that makes sense. Once again, I thank you all for joining me in Aikido Talks. Thank you for listening. It's always a pleasure. And I look forward to the next episode. And until then, stay well, stay healthy, stay happy. Stay Budo-like. Stay peaceful and happy always. Until next time.